It's Thursday, 11th of September 2014. This is HPR episode 1594 entitled Steam and Wine with Linux. It is hosted by Andrew Conway and is about 20 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to nalum@gmail.com or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is how to coax a Windows-only Steam game to work under Steam in GNU/Linux.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, this is Andrew, also known as McNallu, and on this HPR show, I'm not going to talk about astronomy, nor am I going to talk about TuxJam, and there's no Kevy with me. I'm going to talk about an experience I just had helping my son play his favourite game on Linux. So, the game in question is called Ace of Spades, and for those of you that don't know it, it's kind of it's like Minecraft combined with Team Fortress. So the idea is you build, it's blocky like Minecraft, and you can build stuff like Minecraft, but you go around shooting people, which is not really what Minecraft is all about. And it's quite a strange history. It originally started off as a free-to-play game by some indie developer and had a cult following, and then it was kind of swallowed up in some way by a bigger games publisher called Jagex, and at that point only became available through Steam. Now, I used to be able to get it to work in its pre-Steam days, using Wine fairly straightforwardly. It was a very simple program and very light in graphics requirements, but the new version is only available through Steam. And sadly, there's no Linux version, although Steam has done a great job of catering for us Linux people and realizing that Windows is not so good. Jagex have not made this game available on Linux. Anyway, now, the problem was that my son usually uses a computer, and he has done since he was a tiny wee lad. He's now 9, but since, well, I don't know, he was 3 or 4, maybe even younger, he's been used to using one of my computers, a desktop computer, that has Slackware with KDE on it. And he doesn't bat an eyelid about it, and in fact, it dual boots to Windows, because originally I did use it for work sometimes, booted into Windows XP long ago. But he was perfectly happy doing the various things that he does, which is watching YouTube, writing documents using LibreOffice, just surfing the web, listening to music, and so forth. He's quite happy doing all of that with Firefox and KDE and other things. When the new Ace of Spades came out, we had to install Steam in the Windows XP operating system that was also on the disk, and so we'd have to reboot the machine. Now, the amusing thing is that I think in order to try and nag myself into getting rid of Windows at some point, I'd renamed it in the boot up menu. It's a Lilo, because I'm using Slackware. I just use Lilo, simple. Instead of calling it WinXP, I changed it to FailXP in an attempt to remind me to get rid of it soon. And ironically, my son has never learned to call it Windows XP. He does refer to it without any irony as Fail XP, because that's what he's used to selecting at the Lilo boot prompt. Anyway, as far as he's concerned, it's just a way to get into Steam and play Ace of Spades. That's the only reason he ever used Windows. But of course, come April of 2014, I said to him, sorry, son, Windows XP is no longer a good idea. It's not getting booted up into that mode anymore. And Ace of Spades is an online game, and I couldn't even keep letting him use Windows XP with no network connection because ACPs just wouldn't work. So he accepted that the explanation I gave him as to why Windows XP or fail XP had to be binned. And that was that. But I did promise him that I would find a way to get Ace of Spades working for him again. And true to my word, I've done that. But it wasn't easy. So I wasn't going to install Windows 7. I don't actually have a valid installer for Windows 7, nor do I intend to get one. So that ruled out virtual machines as well. And I was left then with running Steam under Wine in Linux, and hoping that somehow that would let me run and play Ace of Spades. So what I did was I went to WineHQ and I checked and found that Steam is mostly gold rated, which in WineHQ means that most programs, well, most games in Steam will work. And I installed Wine. Now, most people would use their package managers to do this, but I managed to pull the package, a pre-built package for Slackware from Alien Bob's website. Alien Bob is one of the key contributors to Slackware. There's only one official Slackware maintainer, Patrick Volkerding, but if there's a number two or number three designated, then Alien Bob would certainly be one of either two or three. Anyway, so I got the package for Wine. Now it's a 64-bit Wine, and that's important because I'm running a 64-bit edition of Slackware. But that doesn't make any difference to what Wine does. It runs 32-bit Windows binaries, which is just as well because the Steam client for Windows is only 32-bit. So that was good. As it happens, I do actually have capability to run 32-bit programs on my Slackware installation. Again, thanks to the venerable Alien Bob, I installed 32-bit libraries. So if I need to, I can run 32-bit. But it doesn't matter. Wine's a 64-bit application, and despite it being 64-bit, it quite happily runs 32-bit Windows applications. A subtlety which actually we'll come back to in a minute later in this story, but it's important to get your head around that, I feel, so you can understand what Wine is doing. So next, from the WineHQ page, I clicked on the download button and I got steaminstall.msi from the Steam website. It's called steampowered.com. Anyway, and then I read a bit of instructions in Wine and decided that Wine space msi exec slash I steaminstall.msi. I think that's correct. I'll put it in the show notes. And that ran the Steam installer of some fairly ugly Windows, but it all worked. And I installed Steam, and I was able to launch Steam just fine after that. Now, the first problem was a pretty serious one in that I could see the Steam windows, and these were much prettier, by the way, than the dialog windows I'd seen earlier. But they had blank space where all the text was. In other words, all the text was invisible. A quick check in the WineHQ site revealed that this is a known problem, and you have to add the command line switch hyphen no hyphen dwrite, I think, to the Wine command when you're launching Steam, and then it will come up and you'll see all the text. Now, once it did that, I was rather taken aback to discover that Steam, never before installed in this operating system, knew my name. It was McNallu. Now, that's not my username on that machine. Actually, I was not even logged in my own username. I was logged in my son's username. And I thought, where did it get McNallu from? And my only thought was that it recognised my MAC address and Steam picked it up from its own databases. This is a little bit creepy, but I know that it does this kind of stuff, so it's the price you pay for working with Steam. Anyway, so I then tried to launch Ace of Spades, and that caused it to install, which seemed to go fine, but it didn't launch. It just gave, well, nothing happened in the graphic user interface, and in the terminal window where I'd launched it, I could see that it was giving some completely inscrutable one-line error message, which was, well, no help to me, and so generic that it didn't offer any help when I searched online. I did a more reading online, and I discovered that people had more success if they used a script called WineTrix. That's WineTrix, all one word. WineTrix is just I think it's a Perl script, and you can just download it and run it, but I installed it using something in Slackware called SPO package, which also highlighted to me that I needed a utility called cab extract to deal with extracting Windows cab files. Anyway, so I did that. I got WineTrix, and the WineTrix command, I had it installed globally in userbin, so I could, I discovered that all I had to do was, oh, before I get to that, I first of all uninstalled Steam that I just installed, just by running the installer in the exact same way and clicking remove in the dialog. So I did that first. And then I turned to WineTrix and I just typed in the command line WineTrix space Steam. And built into the script is a method that will install and configure Steam for you. Now, first thing it did was go off and download the Steam install.msi that I had downloaded manually. But it then complained that the SHA1 sum, the checksum, did not match. I tried it again and it happened exactly the same as the first time. So I checked the script, and to my surprise, I found that inside the WineTrix script, I mean, you can just, right, it's just a Perl script, it's a text file, you just look at it. If you search for, I think, the line that has Steam powered in it, you'll find that not only does it specify the URL for downloading, but hard-coded into the script is the SHA1 sum for Steam installed MSI. The problem is, the comment in the script tells me that this was done in the 18th of March 2011, and it's over 3 years later, so it's not surprising that the checksum no longer matches. So all I did was download the file and manually from the link it was using, not the link I used before, I should add, but the link that was provided inside the WineTrix script, did an SHA1 sum on that, and then copied and pasted that into the WineTrix script so that it would use this new SHA1 sum. Now, this affords no real protection other than that the two downloads were the same. If somebody's tampered with it, then I'm still vulnerable, but you take your chances. Anyway, I did this, and WineTrix space Steam in the command line, and this is just as a regular user, I should say, and an install process for Steam happened all over again, except it was different. It was a different set of dialogue windows. It asked me a few more questions, and this time it didn't creepily identify me as McNally. I don't know why, but it didn't. But it gave me quite a lot of hope that I was doing something different this time, and indeed Steam afterwards launched just fine, installed Ace of Spades just fine, and when I clicked play, it didn't work. It didn't work, but again, heartening me in my progress, I could see that it was a big splurge of error message on in the terminal window where I'd launched it. And this time I could read it, and after a little bit of reading, I decided that, oh, it's looking for openal.so.something or other. It's a shared library. OpenAL is for audio. I know Steam uses that. And my guess was that it was looking for the 32-bit version of that library, even though it's a 64-bit Wine. I think somehow it was trying to link up the 32-bit Windows requirement for a DLL, for OpenAL, to a 32-bit Linux one. I didn't have the 32-bit libopenal.so.blah.blah.blah on my system. Now, the reason is because OpenAL is not part of standard Slackware. It's quite unusual. I actually wish it was part of standard Slackware. It's not that big, but it's quite unusual to come across this kind of dependency problem in Slackware. Now, as it happens, for other reasons, I've already installed OpenAL, but only the 64-bit version. And so what I did was I went off to Alien Bob's site, and I'll put a link in this, the show notes, and I downloaded the 32-bit package for OpenAL, and then used one of his multi-lib scripts, just one line, to convert it to a 32-bit package, which would install into user lib. Whereas the previous 64-bit OpenAL library was installed in user lib 64. And after I did that, and installed that package, then I could launch Easter Speeds, and it played just fine. And my son was, within minutes, playing it just like he did when he used to play it on Fail XP, and was perfectly happy. Well, he wasn't happy for that long, because he's quite good at Ace of Spades, and he was kicked off the server for cheating. But actually, he isn't cheating, he's just very good at Ace of Spades. I dared even try and play it with him, because he'd just shoot me dead. That's the thanks you get for being a father, of course, being shot by your son after you spent best part of 2 hours installing a game for him. Oh well, I hope that you found that of interest. I'll put all the links in the show notes, and everything I've just said I'll probably write in a blog post as well, which will go on my own blog, which I'll give a link to. Anyway, catch you next time, and a big thank you to all the folks out there in HPR and all their interesting shows. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.